Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
On a football Friday, live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome, 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 everybody, to a Football Friday edition of the Zach Gelb Show as we welcome you in via all of our great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 206, and also the radio.com application. 855-212-4CBS is the number that gets you on in. 855-212-4227. You could always follow the show on Twitter at Zach Gelb, ZACHGELB, on our networks account at CBS Sports Radio. Got Connor Green along the other way. And as always, we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. Not one, but two awesome guests for you before we do say goodbye at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. Coming up an hour from now, the man with the best laugh in the color commentating booth, that is Ross Tucker. He was sensational last night, didn't even say anything. He just laughed on Westwood One when Daniel Jones looked like he had an 80-yard touchdown, and then he just hit the deck, Daniel Jones. That basically described the year of 2020. Off to a running start. Got New Year goals in January, February, and then this pandemic hits in March. And ever since then, we've been trying to score a touchdown. We've been trying to get to the end zone. And even if we get to the end zone at the end of 2020, who even knows what's going to happen in 2021? Everyone's saying, let's just get rid of 2020. Well, is 2021 going to be good? I guess it can't get worse. Maybe it can get worse. Who knows? Well, it always gets better, though, on a Football Friday when we're joined by Ross Tucker. He'll join us at the top of the hour, and that was awesome. Didn't even say anything in the booth last night, just laughed. And I was looking around, and I was seeing everything, perusing Twitter, and people are saying, oh, Ross Tucker had a great call with Ian Eagle, and I was all jacked up. Oh, let me see what the call is. I'm sure it's going to be unbelievable. And then it was just Ross Tucker laughing. So, hey, whatever floats your boat, it was the perfect call, though, and he didn't even have to say anything. Coming up at 9 p.m. Eastern, as always on a Football Friday, Gus Frerotte, NFL picks. Gus has been red hot, man. And I was in the lab last week. I had my three picks all throughout the week. Of course, they did go 3-0. And then right before the show, I said, you know what, let me swap two out. And the picks that I were going to take, they go 3-0. The picks that I ended up taking, 1-2 last week. So I think Russ has a game and a half lead, maybe even two games. I got to step up and deliver. And it just goes to show you, sometimes NFL athletes, they'll tell you, oh, like, what do you know? You know, you didn't play blah, blah, blah. You didn't play NFL football. And then you see the way that some of these guys pick, and you're like, well, how much do you really know? Gus Frerotte is a guy that knows a lot about football. Because each and every week, I think he went 1 week where he was below 500. And now we're already 6 weeks in and getting ready to advance to week seven with the game starting last night. To commence week seven between the Giants and the Eagles at Lincoln Financial Field in South Philadelphia, only one losing week for Gus Frerotte. Other than that, it's been 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, a few 3-0s as well for the former Pro Bowl quarterback. So the Gus bus will drive up and pull on in right at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific today as a Friday show. As I've said it about 9 times that it's already a Friday show, I think you've got the gist by now. We will also have a news brief, a little onsides, offsides, and we'll end the show out in style with the closing bell. All right, could we start off with a little bit of some fun audio? Let's do that before we give you the hard-hitting analysis of Giants and Eagles. I did not anticipate today, if I was looking at it last night, that Giants and Eagles was going to be the lead, because you kind of sit back and go, that division stinks. It's terrible. What's the big takeaway, even if the Eagles win or if the Giants win? And I've developed some thoughts, but we have to start off in really last night. I know everyone's going to say it's a terrible game. It was this is how I describe it. It was a horrible game. It was also an entertaining game because of how horrible it was. And I would also say that it was a fun game. This wasn't 45-0 where one team is just so much better than the other. The team that was expected to lose this game, they ended up having an 11-point lead with a little over 6 minutes to play. And then out of nowhere, where the Eagles looked lethargic on offense the entire night, they get two touchdown drives and they end up winning the game. So that was actually, you know, you don't want to call it a good game because the quality of play was poor. But for what Thursday night is, it was a game that you sat down, it gave you some laughs, it gave you some serious breakdown, and it was entertaining how bad it was, but how entertainingly bad it was. These two teams were very close at the end of the game, and the Eagles win 22-21. And how about the Eagles' domination of the Giants? You know, if you're a Giants fan today, that's what makes last night even worse, because this has been a team that has owned you. The Eagles have defeated you 21 times in the last 25 matchups. In the last 13, the Eagles have 12 victories up against the Giants in the last 13 times. And in the last 8, Eagles, 8 in a row, up against the New York Football Giants. So we'll get into a furthermore breakdown of this Thursday night. I don't know what you want to call it. Piece of art? You want to call it a catastrophe? You want to say that it's like the pointing man statue? You want to say it is a LaRev type of situation? Or do you want to say that maybe this is a piece of art that you look at it when I just named some pretty significant pieces of art? Or maybe this is the piece of art last night that you go, it's really ugly, but it pops out. And you know what? The price tag is pretty damn big. You know, that was the game last night. It's when you go to a fancy schmancy art exhibit and you go, who the heck would want to buy that? That is the ugliest piece of art that I've ever seen. And then you get to the bidding. All right, we'll get to 1,000 right there, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000. Up, 100,000. Who's that guy, that rich dude in the back? Up, 200,000, 300,000. The thing ends up going for $5.5 million. So let's start with my favorite part of the game last night. Daniel Jones was off to the races, the fastest run of the season, and he was going so fast that he tripped over his own 2 feet and the turf monster got him. Let's go with Giants radio first. This is Bob Papa and Carl Banks.
Handoff. Nope, Jones is going to keep it. Jones is going to run it. Jones across midfield. It's a foot race. Can he go all the way? Daniel Jones to the 20, and he stumbles and he falls down at the 10.
The turf monster got him. Stumbling, rumbling, bumbling, and he falls down.
He was on his way. Oh, man, Carl.
Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. Jones is not a Weeble.
He was on his way to an 88-yard run, and then he just...
So let me give you a little insight here if you don't know that much about radio. Connor Green, you would say when you can't see people on the radio, it's pretty important to talk, right?
Yeah, you normally have to talk. Otherwise, what happens is the listener doesn't know what happened.
So Bob Papa and Carl Banks, I thought, did a brilliant job. They know they have to speak. It was so funny, though, in what they said or what they saw, that they couldn't even speak because they were probably hitting the cough button. For example, if I feel like I have to cough right now, you can't hear me. I was just coughing because I pressed the cough button. As long as I pressed the right button, I think I did so there. So those guys are probably hysterically laughing that they want a little bit of the laughter on air. And then when you hear the silence, it's probably one of them pressing the cough button as the other one is basically laughing so hard that their chest is hurting them so much. And that's all you could do last night is laugh at that, because that's the Giants season. They've been in games this year, but it never goes their way. This is a football team that they are now 1-6. And if you look at the Giants, this is a proud organization. Bill Parcells, Tom Coughlin, the Mara family, Phil Sims, Eli Manning, Lawrence Taylor, Harry Carson, Carl Banks, the man that you heard laughing. I could go on and on and on with the big names synonymous with the greatness of the New York Giants. But that's been the Giants the last few years. They've been the biggest laughing stock in the league. And I know people may say, oh no, Zach, that has to be Cleveland. Not from a record standpoint. Because since 2017, the Giants, coming off that 11-5 season, had the boat trip in the playoff game, which I didn't even think that was that big of a deal. But 11-5 in 2016, then after that, from 2017 and on, they are 13-42. Now in 2017, the Cleveland Browns, they had zero wins. Since 2017, the Browns are 17-36-1. I'm not a math major. There's a reason I'm a sports talk radio host, and I don't have a great feeling on numbers, and I'm terrible on mental math. But Connor, last time I checked, you'd rather be 17-36-1 compared to 13-42, right?
Yeah, that math checks out.
Giants, 13-42 since 2017. The Browns, 17-36-1. What a joke the Giants have become. And for both New York football teams, the Jets are a joke too. I don't see a path to turning this thing around. Because if you look at the Giants, I don't know what Joe Judge is. He gets the guys to play tough, I'll at least say that. But it's too early to make any reads on him. Daniel Jones, to me, is not the future of that organization. He's okay. You know, give him credit. He did throw a dime last night, and Evan Engram dropped it. The game would have been over. But the guy running the show for the Giants right now, Dave Gettleman, is incompetent. He should not be the general manager of the New York football Giants. And for the Jets, Joe Douglas is kind of like Joe Judge. Well-respected. We don't know what he is, though. And Adam Gase, isn't the right guy. So both these teams are going to be picking in the top five of the draft. Are they going to get it right? Because Thomas so far looks like a disaster, the offensive lineman that they drafted, the Giants. You take a glance at Daniel Jones. I can't tell you that for sure. He's a franchise quarterback. Saquon Barkley, he's tremendous, but he gets hurt the last 2 years. So just because you have the pick doesn't mean that you're going to hit a home run. So both these teams better hit gold in the draft, and can you believe in the people that are running the show right now for the Jets and the Giants? Now, let me get to the Eagles side of this. But before we do that, let me just, because I want to have a little more levity here in the situation. It's a Friday. It's a fun Friday. It's a football Friday. I'm in a good mood. Hopefully you're in a good mood as well. I got to go back to this Daniel Jones stumble, which basically, since we're talking Giants, we're talking Jets. Here's what I was expecting. Everyone remembers the butt fumble. I was at that game, Patriots-Jets, where Mark Sanchez ran into the butt of his offensive lineman. And that was something that was on SportsCenter, not top 10. They had to retire it because it was played so frequently. Well, last night, here is what I was envisioning after I saw the Daniel Jones play. Because I didn't see it live. I was walking home. I saw it on Twitter. And then when I sat down, I rewatched it. Remember when Mark Sanchez a few weeks ago was on The Masked Singer? And he took off the mask and they were like, oh, it's Mark Sanchez, NFL star. And you're like, NFL star? I know he took the Jets at 2 conference championship games, but he's not an NFL star. Well, last night, when Daniel Jones fell and tripped over his own 2 feet because he was running too fast, I was kind of waiting for him to just pop off the helmet and say, surprise, it's Mark Sanchez, once you took the helmet off Daniel Jones. That's as embarrassing as it comes. At least they scored a touchdown on that drive. You know, I guess that's the difference between the Giants and Jets. both lose the games, but the Giants a little less embarrassing than the Jets when they did go up against the Pats all those years ago. Here was the Westwood One call with Ian Eagle and Ross Tucker. Ross Tucker, by the way, going to join us in about 45 minutes.
Shotgun formation. Jones fakes it. Now he runs. He's got a huge hole. 25-30. And there he goes. Daniel Jones stumbles down at the 15. He could not get there. Running out of gas. Jones had nothing but green grass in front of him. And that typifies what this has been all about. He is down at the 8.
Tremendous job there. Because Ross Tucker, he knew in his role as a color analyst, you didn't even hear him say a word. He was just laughing, bellyache laughing in the background. And that's pretty much the NFC East this year. And that's pretty much the Giants and the Eagles and the Cowboys and Washington's football team. The entire football world is laughing at you. 6 total wins in that division so far. And the Eagles, they are now 2-4-1, and they're in first place. It's embarrassing. So basically, the Eagles also got lucky to win the game last night because the Giants are up 21-10 with a little over 6 to go. Then give credit to the Eagles, 78-yard drive very quickly to make it 21-16. I don't know the two-point conversion plays that Doug Peterson keeps on trying to call. They're always horrendous. And then basically, the Giants should have won the game. Daniel Jones hit Evan Engram right in his breadbasket, and Evan Engram dropped it. And if you heard a scream last night on the Evan Engram drop, it was Sean Marash. That's who it was. Because Sean Marash was basically who we love, Sean, in the mornings with DA. I was following him on Instagram. He's singing the Kiss Song, I'm back in the New York groove, celebrating with his buddies. And then he's drinking some beer and he writes, first place Giants. Ay, ay, ay. Can you imagine Maraz broken televisions last night? Probably throwing things around the house, couldn't sleep. I heard him on DA this morning and watched him as well on Twitch. He was wearing a paper bag over his face. Because that's what the Giants are right now. If you're a Giant fan, if you were allowed in the stadium, you'd be wearing a paper bag because this football team, once again, 13-42 since 2017. So the Engram drop was terrible. And right when he dropped that football, you knew Carson Wentz was going to find a way to go get the victory. And this is the frustrating part with Carson Wentz. There's times where, like, he threw the interception. You go, oh, how does he make that mistake in his fifth year in the league? And then there's throws after a face mask by Jason Kelce where he hits Boston Scott, who is not very tall, right in the hands. Perfect throw by Carson Wentz, and they go win the game. And I keep on saying this about Carson Wentz. I don't think he's a bad quarterback. I don't think he's an elite quarterback. I think he is a good quarterback. The Eagles don't do enough, though, to surround him with the right pieces. The offensive line's banged up. Receiving-wise, you're relying on DeSean Jackson, who got hurt. Who knows when Alshon Jeffrey's going to come back. And this guy, Travis Fulgham, keeps on stepping up and making plays. So maybe he's a legit NFL wide receiver. So the Eagles get that win. If you're an Eagles fan, maybe you celebrate it. I would not be celebrating it. If you win the division, great whoop-de-damn-do. What does it mean? Because even if you win that first-round playoff game, you're not doing anything more than that. So I've been thinking about this NFC East. And I've been saying I still think the Cowboys are going to somehow find a way to win it, a lot because of the way the schedule breaks outside of the conference. I think it's easier with the games that have already been played for the Cowboys. But I can't tell you in great confidence that the Cowboys are going to win the division. So here's my wish. I actually want to see the Eagles win the division. Here's why. Because assuming the Packers still win the North, I want the Bears to get the 5th seed. So that means in the 4-5 matchup, because the Eagles would be the 4th record because they'll be the worst division winner, you will get Carson Wentz in Philadelphia going up against Nick Foles. That's what I want to see. That would be actually a fun game where instead we don't have to sit here and bitch and complain and go, the Eagles shouldn't be in the postseason, blah, blah, blah. Like, give me a call, 855-212-4CBS. Should the Eagles not get in the playoffs this year because they were not above 500 or not at 500? No, I don't want to do that radio. The radio I want to talk about is Wentz going up against Nick Foles. And I think Philadelphia would burn down if Nick Foles ended up defeating Carson Wentz. So that's my take on last night. It was horrible. It was entertaining. It was fun. Eagles own the Giants. And now the Eagles, If you're an Eagles fan, like, are you excited after last night? I'd probably say no, but I guess you always take an opportunity to put yourself in first place in a division and get to the playoffs. I think whoever wins this division, though, this year, they have to be realistic with themselves. Don't celebrate it. I think you still need to figure out the big-time holes that you have on this team, and don't just patch them up because you want an NFC East crown. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll take a break. When we come on back, we have some breaking news. This is something that we've talked about. Antonio Brown, he has a meeting set up. He has a visit. It's one team that has said, we're not interested. Now they're showing some interest. We'll tell you who that team is next on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio.
He's live. He's nationwide on CBS Sports Radio. This is the Zach Gelb Show. Here's your host, Zach Gelb.
Least surprising NFL news of all time. Here's the breaking news. Adam Schefter, Antonio Brown will visit the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Saturday. As first reported by Aaron Wilson, Brown is flying to Tampa tonight. He's also in discussions with the Seattle Seahawks. Then Ian Rappaport chimes in shortly after that. I guess Rappaport now off the suspension because of Manscaped, which is the most ridiculous suspension that I've ever seen. I bet you Ian Rappaport, you think he even shaved the last 2 weeks? Was he allowed to shave? Anyway, he's allowed to report now, and this is what he's reporting. Sources, the Bucs have been quietly working on a deal with wide receiver Antonio Brown, and it's now very close. Tom Brady has been pushing for this for some time. Now looks to be happening. Brown is on his way to Tampa Bay. I'm not surprised with this for a single second. And I remember we talked about this earlier in the week when we were discussing where Antonio Brown could potentially land. And we discussed the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And we brought up the conversation that our very own Tiki Barber and Brandon Tierney had with B.A., who I think B.A. was actually once the babysitter for Tiki and Rondé Barber. He's also the NFL head coach for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He was on Tiki and Tierney right here on many of the same CBS Sports Radio affiliates. And they said he said it's not going to happen. And that was back in March. Now, let me also remind you, and I like Bruce Arians a lot, but when Bruce Arians was working for CBS, we had him on. And when I was talking to him, it was when McCarthy just got fired. And I said to him, would you have any interest in the Packers job? And he said, no. And then I said, why not? And he said, the only job I'd be interested in is the Cleveland Browns. And I said, the only way you'll return to the NFL is if you're the head coach of Cleveland. He goes, yep. And now look where we are. Where's Bruce Arians coaching? He's coaching the Tampa Bay, or as you may want to call it, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So here's what happened. And I think this is very obvious, and I do expect Antonio Brown will get a deal done. And I think it's a great move for the Buccaneers because it's low risk, high reward. If it works, have fun guarding Rob Gronkowski, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, and Antonio Brown. If AB continues to be a pain in the ass and a knucklehead, and it doesn't work, you just get rid of him. And you say goodbye to him, and it doesn't derail your Super Bowl chances. Because you still have a really good offense that hasn't even played their best yet. And the most impressive part so far with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers has been the way that that defense has played. So the way that this probably did go down, Arians, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. I've seen him before in Pittsburgh. I don't want to deal with him. And what did Tom Brady do? Tom Brady said, this is my organization. You brought me in for 2 years. Just like when LeBron goes to the Lakers, we could have a coach, we could have a president, we could have a GM. I run the organization. And Brady kept on probably going to Jason Light and also Bruce Arians and say, guys, I want to win you guys a Super Bowl. You want to win a Super Bowl as well. B.A., you've won Coach of the Year awards. You never won a Super Bowl, though, as a head coach. I know how to win the Super Bowl. I'm the greatest quarterback of all time. I've won 6 Super Bowls. I've been to 9. Let's get to a 10th Super Bowl in my career this year, and let's win a ring. And I want Antonio Brown. I have a relationship with him. I'll control him, even though who knows if Brady could even control Antonio Brown. And we'll get this deal done, and I want this to happen. And maybe the first time, Brady was told no. But even if you're told no once, Brady's going to keep on going back over and over and over again. Let's get a deal done. Let's bring in AB. And eventually, Bruce Arians probably said, all right, I'm good with it. And the other part, the way that I react to this, if this in fact does happen, which I believe it will, Antonio Brown joining the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, like, could he join the Seahawks? Sure. The Seahawks would be a tremendous option. You get to play with Russ, Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf. You're right in the Super Bowl mix as well. But the other take here, not really so much Bucs in Seattle. It's impossible to not think about what happened if Tom Brady elected to stay in New England. Think about it. If Brady stayed in New England, they would have had Rob Gronkowski come back and join the team, you would think. And then even though it ended ugly in New England last year, if Brady was sitting there and telling Belichick and telling Robert Kraft, hey guys, let's bring back Antonio Brown. I may only have another year or two left. Let's go win another ring. Let's go get a seventh. Don't you think they would have brought him in and brought him back? Even if Robert Kraft had to swallow some pride with the things that Antonio Brown said about Robert Kraft when they released him, and rightfully so when they released him. So, yes, it's not surprising that AB most likely will wind up in Tampa Bay. It also adds another wrinkle, though, in this Brady-Belichick dynamic where Belichick's still in Foxborough and Brady down in Tampa Bay. And that's the biggest storyline of the year, what the Pats will do and what the Buccaneers will do. And Tom Brady's Buccaneers are basically turning into a fantasy team. And the question is, can they win a Super Bowl? And I've even thought this before the season that they could absolutely win a Super Bowl. And now they're clearly going to be one of the favorites. If they get Antonio Brown, how do you stop this team if all stay healthy? The only thing that could hurt this team is Antonio Brown just being a fool, which is a possibility. But even if he is, you still have a ton of weapons. So you have a tremendous defense, and you have Evans, Godwin, Gronk, Ronald Jones, and now potentially Antonio Brown. This is fascinating. And you look at New England, who's Cam throwing the football to? Julian Edelman, James White, Rex Burkhead. Even though I love the Cam story, and I think he's going to have success in New England, would you still rather have Tom Brady, even Gronk, who is not the same player coming back, and Antonio Brown to complement Julian Edelman and James White? Yeah, I think you definitely would. So here's another advantage to Tom Brady in the year of 2020. And the Bucs are a legit Super Bowl contender. And the Patriots' apex this year is just winning the AFC East. And I don't even think they're going to win the AFC East. And that's coming from a Patriot fan. I don't think they're winning the AFC East. Are they even going to make the playoffs this year? I picked them as a 7 seed before the season. So this dynamic, Brady up against Belichick. It used to be Brady and Belichick dominating the league together. Now they're on different sides. And Brady's putting himself in a better position to win as soon as possible, with his window not being a very long window, with him probably only able to play 2 or 3, maybe max more years in the league. So it looks like Antonio Brown's going to get what he wants. He's eligible after week 8 to return to the National Football League. And there's a market. And right now it seems like the two leading candidates are the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Seattle Seahawks. I'll say AB winds up in Tampa Bay. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll take a timeout. When we come on back, what should the role be of a veteran when a team brings in a younger quarterback? What should that veteran quarterback, how should he treat the younger quarterback? We'll get into that next, but first up with the latest CBS Sports Radio update, we get to Bob Uecker.
The Zach Gelb Show is on the air across the nation on CBS Sports Radio. Here's Zach Gelb.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is sponsored by Geico. Want to know what's really scary? Seeing just how much you could have been saving on car insurance by switching to Geico. It will keep you up at night. Switch to Geico and save. So Antonio Brown is negotiating a deal with who? The Tampa Bay Buccaneers. No surprise whatsoever from yours truly. So we just put up this poll question, and the Seahawks are also in play for Mr. Big Chess. If you are Antonio Brown, you rather go to Seattle or you rather go to Tampa Bay? I have my opinion on this. I'll give it to you in just a second. Connor Green, though, let me get a different voice into this conversation. If you are Antonio Brown, you want to go team up with Tom Brady or Russell Wilson, you want to go play with the Bucs or you want to go play with the Seahawks?
I would rather go play with Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers because he already has a relationship with Tom Brady built in from last year. He was living in his house, so he already knows the quarterback pretty well, and they've played together. I know it was only one game, but they have played together. And the Buccaneers also have a much, much better defense than the Seahawks do.
Bingo.
The Seahawks have absolutely no defense. Everybody's been able to move the ball up and down the field on them. The Bucs have arguably the best defense in football, so I think that makes Antonio Brown's decision very easy.
We don't know what Antonio Brown wants. Is it who he wants to play with? Is it how much money does he want to make on a one-year deal? Is it what spot puts him in the best opportunity to win a ring? If I'm Antonio Brown, this is how I'm looking at it. I have a relationship already with Brady, and exactly what you just said. If I go to Tampa Bay, even though Seattle was my Super Bowl pick this year, the Bucs, I could be the difference maker on the Bucs. And when I look at the differences between each team, yeah, Seattle's offense has been a cleaner product this year. Tampa Bay's offense is a work in progress. However, on the other side of the ball, it's night and day. This was a Buccaneers defense last year that was number one against the run. They're number one against the run this year. And again, and that was with last year, Jameis Winston throwing picks left and right. And this defense has taken an extra step this year. And they have so many names, whether it's JPP, Ndamukong Suh, Lavonte David, Devin White. They got a ton of names on this defense. Plus, then on offense, you have Brady, Evans, Godwin. We haven't seen the best yet of Rob Gronkowski. Had a good game last week, finally caught a touchdown pass. You still got Cameron Brait there. Ronald Jones has done a good job. Yeah, I'm going to Tampa Bay because of that defense and also that relationship that I have with Tom Brady. Now, if he goes to Seattle, it's not a terrible pick. Now, you go partner up with Lockett, Metcalf, Russell Wilson, Pete Carroll, Chris Carson. That's another tremendous option. But I really do believe that Antonio Brown, he wants to go play again with Tom Brady. And even though B.A. and A.B. may not be on the best terms, and B.A. was on Tiki and Tierney and said, yeah, it's not going to happen back in March, if Brady keeps on coming to you and saying, Coach, we want this guy. We need this guy, which you don't need him. But Brady's probably saying, slamming the desk, let's get A.B., let's get A.B., let's get A.B. Are you really going to let your personal relationship, whatever it may be, and how it may be a headache, get in the way? No, you're going to give your star quarterback, the guy that gives you a chance to win a Super Bowl, what he wants when he asks for it. And that's what happens in sports right now. We are in an era of player empowerment where if you are a big enough star, LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Tom Brady, you could run your organization. And Brady wasn't allowed to do that in New England because of Bill Belichick. You had two goats. Now Brady's in Tampa. Who's going to tell Tom Brady no? And Brady, he thought they should have kept AB last year. And they couldn't justify keeping AB with all that was going on, but Brady's not a dummy here. He wants to win. He's still addicted to winning as more than ever. And he wants to win a ring and win another one. You know, there's a reason why whenever you ask Tom Brady at the Super Bowl, and I've done it, hey, Tom, what's your favorite Super Bowl victory? The next one. This dude is still PO'd. His former teammate Ted Johnson told me this. He's still PO'd being the sixth-round draft pick, 199 overall, and he's considered the GOAT. He's still annoyed. He still finds ways to motivate himself. So he's going to bring in AB, and he's going to get this done. And, yes, are there off-the-field concerns? Are there concerns about if AB could fall in line with the team? Sure, of course there are. But Brady looks at this. It's 8 weeks plus playoffs. And he thinks he could manage it because of the relationship that they have. And yeah, there's going to be some games where it's going to be Evans who's going to have the best stats. Then there's going to be some games where it's going to be Godwin. Then there's going to be some games where it's AB. The Bucs going into this year, we were saying, how the heck do you guard them in the red zone? And now if they get this deal done, and I think, you know, I'm going to guess it's on the five and they're about to punch it in. Tampa Bay, are they then the favorites to win it all? I'll throw that question out there. I would still say Kansas City's the favorite. And imagine you get that Super Bowl. Brady, Mahomes, Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown. So I would still say the Chiefs are the favorites to win it all. But if you go get Antonio Brown, you're already top three in the NFC in the conversation. Packers, Bucks, Seahawks, probably the top three teams in the NFC, no order. Now a lot of people are going to say that you are the favorite to get to the Super Bowl in the NFC. And not that Brady needs to add anything to his resume, but there are some dopes out there that go, oh, he's a system quarterback. Oh, Belichick made him. Oh, it's all Belichick. Well, if he wins a Super Bowl without Belichick, what are you going to say? Now, I think a lot of that stuff is ridiculous. It's hogwash. It's nonsense. Belichick needed Brady. Brady needed Belichick. Both could be great on their own. What makes them all-time greats when they were together? Belichick has a longer window, even though he's older, because what, he probably coaches another 5, 6, 7 years? You would think he could walk away on his own terms. For Brady, he wants to play till he's 45. He's 43 right now. He's probably only got 2 or 3 years left. And you know what? Here's another question. I know he's on a 2-year deal. If Brady wins the Super Bowl this year, does he walk away? Many thought he should have rode off into the sunset after Super Bowl 53. If he gets a 7th, does he walk away? Does he walk away if it happens this year, or does he come back for another season in Tampa Bay? So I expect this thing to get done. Right, Connor? At this point, I guess you'd be shocked if he ends up going to Seattle?
I think so. I mean, they're saying they're really close to a deal, and the fact that they already have a relationship, he's going there tomorrow. We haven't heard of him meeting with Seattle at all. We've just heard that they're interested in him. So I would be shocked at this point if he didn't go to Tampa Bay.
And maybe that was a deciding factor here for Bruce Arians. Other than Brady keep on demanding it, Brady probably also did walk in and say, guys, he's going to Seattle. Why aren't we bringing him in? He wants to come play with us. Why aren't we bringing him in? And then Jason Light and probably Bruce Arians said, yeah, Tom's right. Now, who is a team in the NFC? Forget the AFC for a second. But who's a team in the NFC right now? If you take Seattle and if you take Tampa out of it, that should be getting on the phone right now and should be calling Antonio Brown and saying, we want you here. We'll give you whatever you want. Who is that team? Like, in reason, there's one team that comes to mind right away. Connor, who do you think that team is?
I'll give you two teams. I think either
Hold on.
It's only one.
I think we're going to be in the same boat here. I think it's two obvious ones. Let me, even though I wanted you to guess what I was going to say, now I'm going to guess what you're going to say. Packers, Saints?
That's it.
Bingo. Bada bing, bada boom. There you go. If you're the Saints, doesn't look like you have Michael Thomas this weekend. It doesn't look like you're also going to have Emmanuel Sanders. He's now on the COVID list, and I think Michael Thomas was already ruled out. Saints, Panthers. I know you wouldn't get AB for this weekend. When everyone's healthy, though, Sanders, Kamara, Thomas, AB, Drew Brees gets one more shot. Now, on the other end, the Packers, it's an obvious. You would finally be going out and getting another legitimate weapon for Aaron Rodgers. Rodgers, you have Aaron Jones, Devontae Adams, and then Antonio Brown. Those are the four teams. That should be the market. That should be the AB field. It should be the Bucs. It should be Seattle. It should be the Saints. And then it should be the Packers. And if those are your four options, I still think Antonio Brown, he's made it clear he wants to play with Tom Brady. He probably also wants to stick it to the Pittsburgh Steelers too. And then could you imagine? Oh, how about this? Because of the whole Brady-Ben stuff, Patriots-Steelers stuff. And then he developed that relationship with Brady when he was there last year. Can you imagine if we get a Super Bowl, Bucks, Steelers, AB, Ben, Brady, Ben, Arians, Tomlin? There's so many great matchups here potentially. And don't get me wrong here, because I know it's like, oh, we're talking about this. It's so exciting. That's the radio we do. And there's so many great options. And my mind is spinning 1,000 miles per hour right now. I am the gerbil on the wheel, and it's just spinning over and over and over and over and over again. Antonio Brown is not a good dude. Antonio Brown, he is someone that you can't trust. This is what it shows you, though. Once again, if you are talented and you could lay low for a little bit, you'll get another opportunity in this league. You haven't heard much from Antonio Brown the last month, month and a half. And I actually got intrigued today because I was sitting in my room and I got a notification. Antonio Brown, Instagram Live. And I'm like, uh-oh, is he going to announce where he's going to go? And it was him sitting in his car, getting out of a workout, no shirt on, just dripping sweat. And he was on for maybe a minute and then probably realized, yeah, you know what, I probably should still lay low. I was like 6,000, 7,000 viewers. I was one of the 6,000, 7,000 in there. And don't get me wrong, I was there recording it, had it on the screen, and I was waiting for something crazy to happen. And nothing ended up happening that was all that crazy. I must have got on right at the tail end because I got the notification, and then I was on for maybe 30 seconds, and then it just said, all right, this broadcast has ended. Tom probably slid into his DMs. Hey, B, don't do this right now. We are so close. Don't say something stupid. Don't do something stupid. And for all those teams that we mentioned, Bucks, Seahawks, Saints, Packers, if it doesn't work, you just get rid of him. It's a one-year deal. It's an eight-game deal plus the playoffs. That's it. So we knew he was going to get a job, and now it looks like he's going to get the job that he wants, and that's Tampa Bay. Now, real quickly, I teased this right before the break. Relationships when you're an older quarterback and your team brings in a younger quarterback and what they should be. You don't owe the younger quarterback anything, but you should be a good teammate. Like Aaron Rodgers, I think he's handled it the right way with Jordan Love. Unfortunate situation. He's been civil. I believe what happened with him and Favre probably rubs off on him here, and he wants to make it easier for Jordan Love. Ryan Fitzpatrick, not Aaron Rodgers, with the Tua situation, he could be disappointed. You're going to have to be a cheerleader now. You were brought back this year, and there was a large understanding that you were going to mentor Tua Tagovailoa. Now, I can't wait to see what happens whoever drafts Trevor Lawrence. Because if the Jets do, yeah, they probably trade Sam Darnold. The Giants, they probably trade Daniel Jones, so there's no point of contention. Jaguars, they probably trade Gardner Minshew, and you get something back for all three. Washington, I don't even know what the market would be for Dwayne Haskins, but it's the same thing. What happens if the Falcons get the number one overall pick? Do you go with Matt Ryan for one more year? And how would that relationship play out? That would be fascinating to me. It really would. And I think he would trade Matt Ryan and try to get the most back for him when he's especially younger. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Ross Tucker joins us next. We'll go around the NFL and talk AB.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.